I just want to say I really appreciate the way you have joined in and just really become part of quite a difficult thing to do for many of you. And so I just want to compliment you on that. I have never worked with a group that is so enthusiastic and has so quickly become part and so excited about doing something, and I know the Lord's going to bless you because of that. In the session today, we are going to give you evaluation forms. I can't emphasize enough how important they are to us. Please take time to give your comments and be real and open and honest about this type of training and the value of it. So if you can be specific about ways that we can make it better, please just be real open and free to give us any critique you can give us on it. I appreciate you taking the time to do that. I know you're all in practice now because you've just filled out one, so this will be a breeze for you. One other thing I'd like to mention, there are a few of you that have come since yesterday and asked for manuals. I would be willing to make a run this afternoon. If there are any of you who did not sign up yesterday, if you will sign up with your group leaders today, I will make copies this afternoon. Give them your name and your room number and give them the $5, and I will slip the copy under your door this afternoon. Okay? Now, what are we going to talk about today? Up on the overhead, we're going to learn how and practice the courtroom and the gift illustrations. The courtroom illustration explains the substitutionary death of Christ and really helps them to visualize that. It's something that we have a hard time understanding, and non-Christians certainly don't have a concept of, really, and it's hard to understand. So you're going to find this really helpful in explaining that. The gift illustration also is a perfect lead-in to giving the invitation. We're going to learn how to present the gospel in the context of this particular study. Instead of having to memorize and go over several verses from memory, by asking questions, and I'm going to demonstrate that here shortly, you will learn how to actually present the gospel in the form of a summary. We're going to also hopefully finish up and give you who have gone the extra mile the opportunity to share your personal testimonies within your group so that we can just get a feel for the different ways to present those, and you'll feel a little bit more comfortable going home with that. Okay, now the gospel summary is designed to be given right at the end of lesson 5, before the wrap-up. And if you'll look in your books when you get when we get into the small groups, you'll see how that goes. The lesson is just finished, and then you just start asking a series of questions. And you say, okay, now in review, let's think about what we've learned in the last 5 weeks. In the first lesson, what did we learn about Jesus and the way he related to women, or the way he related to people? And they're going to say, oh, he was compassionate, or oh, he raised the widow's son. And it's what you need to do is refer to your sheet on how to ask good questions. And at that point in time, you may have to ask a delving question. You may say something like, are there any other thoughts? Many thoughts will come out. Then you just pick the idea that is most important from those thoughts and summarize it back to them. For instance, yes, you've brought up the different points, and you're right on. We learned that Jesus loves us very much, that he has great power and compassion. And on the sheet that you got, on the handout that you got, for each of the 5 chapters, we have given you the main thought about Jesus and the thought that we developed during that chapter. So you will have that there and can ask questions to get at that point. Then we pick the key scriptures out of each of those lessons, which virtually present the gospel. So you say, now remember from the first lesson In Matthew 11:28, what was it that Jesus invited us to do? And if they don't remember it, go back and read the verse. No problem. Just have someone within the group read the verse. So after each of the verses, I've got each of the verses listed in the gospel summary, and you just ask those questions for each of the chapters. And the women virtually share the gospel with each other. And then you work into the gift illustration and the invitation. I know it sounds real simple, but it really was, because I was, as I did this study, I was uncomfortable with having to give some kind of an illustration, some kind of a bridge or anything like that. So by using the summary method, you just ask questions and the women share together and actually bring out the gospel without you telling them the different things. They share it with each other. Okay, now Helena's going to come up, and she is going to demonstrate how to do the gift illustration, the courtroom illustration, and actually give an invitation. After that, we'll go directly to our small groups.
We realized yesterday that you had difficulty seeing us, so the choice was either have you sit on the floor so we could sit down at the podium, or stand up and do this, which would be the most abnormal way you would ever do it. Donna, this is your microphone. Okay, you don't need to do anything. She's going to beam us up, right? Okay. The reason I think the courtroom scene has been so meaningful to me is that for many years I knew Jesus Christ personally as my Savior, but I never could understand how his death on the cross applied to me. It didn't make sense. I took it by faith, but I didn't understand it. When I heard this illustration, the light went on. And I've used it so many times with non-Christians, and it seems to me, I used to get halfway through the bridge, I would use the courtroom scene, and they were ready to become a Christian. So it's a matter of understanding why Jesus died. So if you'll turn to the courtroom illustration on the sheet of paper that you have, and then also turn to page 37 in Jesus Cares, and if you don't have yours with you, feel free to look on with someone else. You'll see that the courtroom scene I'm going to present right now is the amplified version. It's difficult to get editors to put every word in that you would like. But if you pick up the essence of it, you'll be able to understand it and use it. Now, you'll notice that we'll go from a contemporary U.S. courtroom to another courtroom. And On the sheet that you have, the non-Christian's name is Vicky, but for the sake of Donna, we won't confuse her by calling her Vicky. Okay, Donna. Let's see. And you should use it. If you have page 37, you see the courtroom scene, keep your finger there, and then go to the back of page of chapter 4 at the back of the book. And I personally recommend that you use it at the very back page, after the Considering Christ segment, then they look up three verses, and the last one is quoted, Romans 5:8. And you can say to them, as I'm going to say to Donna now, Donna, I want to explain, give an illustration so you understand what is meant by but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does it mean that Christ died for us? What's your concept of that?
Well, from the studies, he loved me, so he died for me. He was willing to rescue a woman. I guess I'm learning I'm important to him.
Okay. But if I were to ask you, why did Jesus have to die on the cross, what would you say?
Why did he have to?
Mm-hmm. Did he have to, or...
No, I guess he didn't. It was his choice to. Mm-hmm. I guess I feel like I need it. He died because I needed him.
And you feel that his death on the cross did something for you?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
She's a very intelligent non-Christian. Why don't you just say, for the sake of argument, that he died as an example?
Okay.
Because that's what some of them will say to you. Okay. We didn't coach her too much on this one. Okay, why don't we go into a courtroom? You and I are driving down the highway, and I begin to accelerate. I'm driving, and I'm about 15 miles over the speed limit. And a policeman pulls me over and says, "You're breaking the law. Here's a ticket. I'll see you in court." So I go before the judge, and because you're my buddy, you come with me. You're not a Christian, but you're still my friend. So the judge says to me, "Helene Ashker, you're guilty of breaking the laws of the city and county of Denver, let's say. How do you plead?" And I say, "Guilty, Your Honor." And he says, You owe the court. You've broken the laws of our county. You owe the court $150. And I say, "But Your Honor, I don't have that much money." But Donna's sitting there, and she immediately comes up to the bar, and she says, "Your Honor, I will pay the fine for her." And she writes out a check for $150, and she hands it to the judge. The judge says to me, "Will you accept your friend's payment for your penalty?" And I say, "Yes, sir." So the judge says, he raps the gavel, and he says, "Paid in full, case closed." So then I turn to Donna, who I'm witnessing to, and say, "Can I ever be tried for that ticket again?"
"No."
"Why not?"
"It's been paid."
"But I didn't pay it."
"But somebody else paid it. And in a court of law, that's good enough."
"So it's a substitutionary payment."
"Mm-hmm."
"Okay, Donna, now let's go to another courtroom. And God is the judge. And you're the defendant. And God says to you, 'Donna, you're guilty of breaking my laws. You've been angry. You've been proud. You've been jealous. You've been lustful. How do you plead?'"
"Kind of guilty."
"Guilty." "Like the rest of us, guilty, right?" So God raps the gavel, and he says, "The penalty for breaking my law..." Let's see. I'm going to try to stick with the script. Let me do it the way I usually do it. "The penalty for breaking my law is death in the electric chair." Now, the reason I use the electric chair is we've glamorized the cross. But you don't see anybody with gold electric chairs on them. So in our culture, the electric chair is the disgraceful thing. The cross has no meaning. Do you see? So I use that. You don't have to. "It's death in the electric chair." But you have a defense attorney, Donna. And he steps up to the bar and he says, "Father, you're right. Donna is a sinner. She has disobeyed you. But because I love her and I have no sin of my own, I am going to take the death penalty for her." And God says to you, what does it say here? I'm going to say it my way. I can't be bothered with the script. I checked this all out with somebody and it's gotten very technical. But that's what you have to do, to write it down. Anyway, I'd say to you, Donna, Jesus Christ has offered to take your place. The only thing God requires is that you acknowledge that he has been your substitute by dying on the cross. In other words, he paid the penalty just as you paid the penalty for me. He paid the penalty for you so that God can say, paid in full, penalty paid in full. But he has one requirement. And that is that you acknowledge that you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ did this for you.
Well, you know, Helene, that makes sense. But, would I have to go to church every Sunday? Am I going to have to, I like to go out with my friends every now and have a drink. I mean, am I going to have to stop that? What about the clothes I wear? Am I going to have to dress differently? And... Because I've seen some people, I've seen them, and all of a sudden they're different, and I don't know if that's for me.
Well, I think we're talking about what happens after you become a believer. You don't need to do anything in order to receive Jesus Christ. I'm going to explain that to you in a minute, give you another illustration.
Okay.
Whatever Jesus asks you to do after he comes into your life, would you be willing to do that?
Depends on what it is.
But you've got to understand Jesus loves you, and he wouldn't ask you to do anything that wasn't good for you. Because, see, you remember all the women he dealt with? Remember how good he was to them? Why would it be any different to you?
Maybe just because I feel a lot worse than they did.
Oh, remember the woman caught in the act of adultery?
Yeah.
She's prolonging this. No, no,
lay it on me, baby.
Yes.
Have it.
Talk into the microphone. Thank you. Okay, let's get on with this illustration of receiving a gift. In other words, Donna, anything Jesus asks you to do, when he comes into your life, he's doing it for your sake. Now, he's not telling you to, you know, do anything in order to be a Christian.
Okay, so he'll take me just like I am.
And that's the only way he can take you.
Okay.
And we'll explain that in this next illustration. I didn't bring a gift. May I have that book, please? I don't like to use the Bible. Please don't use the Bible for this illustration. And you'll understand why in a minute. Okay, now we have gone through the fulfilled woman, and we're at the back page. And they're wrapping up your study, so it's the very last page. And before we get to the segment of the invitation, I want to give her an illustration to illustrate what we mean by receiving Christ. Okay? So you may want to separate these two, or in witnessing you may use them together. But Donna, I want to explain to you what it means to receive the gift of salvation. John 1:12, as you recall, by the top of the page, you know, when we went through that, says that, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So let's illustrate it with, let's say this is a gift that I've wrapped up beautifully for you, and it has your name on it. And I say, Donna, because I love you, I want you to have this. What's your part?
What's my part?
Uh-huh. What do you have to do to get the gift?
Well, usually you just give a gift away.
You give it away. What if you decided you wanted to work for it? You want to come and clean my house?
Well, then it wouldn't be a gift anymore.
What would it be?
Well, I'd have to earn it.
Right. And a lot of people think that's how you get to know God, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. They do.
Yeah. But when you receive a gift, what's your part?
Just to take it.
Take it. Okay. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So receiving Jesus Christ is like receiving a gift. It is receiving a gift. Remember the verse that everybody seems to know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him has everlasting life. So God wants you to receive the gift of salvation, just the way you received the gift that I offered you. Are you ready to do that, do you think?
If you say he'll take me like I am.
Have you ever taken, do you ever remember taking this step with Jesus?
No, I was afraid I'd have to change too much.
Well, you see, the difference with that is Jesus comes in and helps you change. He doesn't ask you to do anything.
Well, I have one question, though. Mm-hmm. I've talked to people that have done this, and they've gotten real emotional and cried, and, you know, and I don't feel like that. Do I have to feel like that to know he's come into my life?
Do you want to cry over receiving this?
Well, I would be excited if it were a gift for me.
Right. And see, maybe if when your husband offered you your engagement ring, you might have gotten kind of teary.
We would be the same then.
Yeah. Some people cry, some people laugh, some people get excited, and some people don't feel anything. It's not an issue of feeling. It's a faith issue. It's a choice that you're making.
I could do that.
Okay. Do you have any questions about what it means to receive Jesus Christ?
I don't think so. You kind of spelled things out for us.
Good. About time. Okay. Now, if you'll notice on page 42, there are some additional helps given to you in making the gospel clear and giving the invitation. So it isn't just what's on the page, but you'll find lots of little helps. And you'll find on page 40 additional helps for sharing the faith. And it gives you the list that you would normally use doing a bridge illustration. But to simplify it for women, because the bridge illustration takes a long time to explain, a gift illustration is very simple. A child can understand it, an adult can understand it. Do you have any questions on that, what I just did? Anything you'd want to add to it, or what a class. Okay, so the invitation comes immediately thereafter. Now, Sharon and I are different, and you and I are probably different. Now, what I do in a group, we've done this with non-Christians and Christians in the Bible study. I will turn to one of the Christians first and say, do you ever remember making this decision? And the Christian will say, sure, I did it when I was 25 years old, or, you know, here or there. one or two sentences. This isn't the place for the two-minute testimony. And then I'll turn to another Christian and say, do you ever remember doing this? Yes. Then I turn to the non-Christian and I said, remember this, Devon? I said, Maria, do you ever remember inviting Jesus Christ into your life? And she said, no. I said, would you like to do it now? There are eight of us in the room. She said, yes. So I got brave, and there was another non-Christian at the other end of the table, and I said, Carolyn, do you ever remember receiving Jesus Christ? And she said, no. Would you like to do it now? And she said, yes. And so I said, well, why don't you repeat after me? Now, this was a little awkward in that they started repeating after me silent. I don't like silence. So I said, why don't we all repeat after me? So the Christians and the non-Christians together all repeated after me. That is very threatening for some of us. So Sharon hands out a 3x5 card and says, would you critique this Bible study on the card? And then if you have just made a decision for Jesus Christ during this, put an X in the corner. You can do it that way. Another friend of mine said, if you want to receive Jesus Christ, write me a note. So the girl wrote her a note. I want to become a Christian. So you can do it any way that is comfortable for you. We're not legislating that. But just know that there is more than one way you can do it. And if you're one-on-one with a person, it's probably better that they not evaluate the lesson on a card. You can just talk to them. Just talk to them personally. It's a very personal thing that we are doing when we're inviting someone. I have a funny story. Do I have time to tell it? Probably not. Sure, tell it. A friend of mine, a navigator staff woman, told me that a friend of hers was coming to Seattle. And she said, she's not a Christian, would you, befriend her? So in my usual way, I finally invited her to come from the motel and live with me for about 10 days, which she did. She moved in on Sunday. Sunday morning, we went to church. Sunday evening, we began to talk about her faith. Monday night, we did chapter 1 of Jesus Cares. And at that time, I asked her if she was ready to make a decision. Somehow, she seemed very close, and she said, oh, I think I've made that. And I thought, well, I'm not going to be pushy. I won't insist. Tuesday night, I'm upstairs with a friend of mine. She's downstairs watching television. Two men connected with my church came to the door, and they were Disciple Evangelism, that program. So they rang the doorbell, and they came to see her. So she's downstairs, and they lead her to Christ, and she prays with them. And when I came downstairs, they said, she just received Christ. And she said, later on, she said, when I started to pray, I thought, I should be doing this with Helene.
Okay, you've got a feel for it. Now let's go straight to our small group workshops, and we'll have the opportunity to practice this.